hear you.
Okay, I might actually hold this because I tend to jump on the place.
Good evening, folks.
Since it's such a pleasant gathering, such a lovely evening, I'll start off with a poem about a date. It's called Death's a Lousy Fucking Date. Death doesn't come too soon, death doesn't come too late, death doesn't drink too much, death doesn't put on weight, death's not into sport, field or track, death shoots smack. Death funds Morrissey tribute bands, a dad hand at Ernie Cohen tinder sticks too. But death's not too fun to Fellini and all that Dolce Vita shit. No, death sucks milkshake noisily. Death doesn't do penis and popcorn carton trick. Death doesn't embrace at the gate, cause let's face it, death is a lousy fucking date. Cheers. So, while we're on the subject of death, this is a poem in celebration of the death of an old woman. it's not necessarily what one normally does, but the woman happens to be called Margaret, and you could probably guess her surname. Anyhow, Hatcher. It's called Words on Hatcher. Woke up this morning, and there they were, words, really weaselly, wondrous words, all with loads to say. Never a dull moment with words, never stuck for a curse with words, never short of a laugh with words, fall in love with words, let the hate roll with words, whisper sweet nothing with words, apologize for all you have done wrong with words, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me with words. But we won't forgive her with words. We'll tell that dead baroness all she did wrong with words. She'll get no eulogy out of me with words. Instead, I'll go write a song with words. I'll tramp the dirt down just like Elvis said with words. I'll tell fawning funeral generals they are just puffed up poppycocks with words. I'll reopen the pits with words. Words. I give everyone their jaw back with words. I refuse to partake in her dog-eat-dog world with words. Darwinian, silverback, penny-pinch, primate, that woman's an ape. May she be for hunting by hoodoo inter-hamway. And I mean it with words, glorious words. Societies, yeah, I'll say it again. Societies, affable, handymen, words, and all that you are deaf to, Maggie. Words. Cheers. This one is kind of relatively new, so I may need to look at what's in front of me here and see how it goes. This is more death, which that's the way the world works, man. This is about three marvellous maiden aunts I had, Eileen, Nancy and Mary. I used to spend a lot of time with them on holidays, and they were formidable ladies. This is called "There's a Serial Killer on the Loose." I used to have three aunts, now I have none, not one, not a single spirited spinster left to people those truly dingle hairpin nights, full of Harvey Wallbanger, Hillman impish tales, treacherous bends always leading to perfidious Albion, and finally Oliver, always Oliver, and then were Cromwell cursed, rousing choruses of the West's awake, puttering into Ballyfermotor, roar and blasket sound, stopping off into a Collins for the one drink or the dozen, the bar packed all drinking the syphilitic shillings from Hawley's Island, our King, our Berlusconi, our Napoleon, but no Elba for that chieftain, that royal Republican. Now you're talking, talking furious words, crossing the Guinness border, dumping the Berne, digging up the crest of ten, preparing the red breast, words of scale as sharp as pikes that no clock would mute and no man would call time on. I used to have three hands, now I have none. Gone, 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 those glorious Edwardian feminists, old Percy French, Germain Greer, and Father Murphy, and not one of the three ever missing the chance to set the head they're blazing. I hope you're starting to get my point. I used to have three hands, and now I have none. I mean, how much more fucking proof do you need? There's a serial killer on the loose, and the weird thing is I can't seem to get anyone to care. And even I, never short of a phrase or two, don't have the words within me to talk about whom I think he has his eye on next. There's a serial killer on the loose. I used to have three hands. Now I have none. And just, I'll stop this after a while, but I'm just fucking pushing the gloom shit. Just to start off with, my father was ill recently. He's 89. My father was ill recently. He's 89. Thankfully, he's rallied. But this is called, this is very short. It's called The Mask. I asked my father to take off the mask because it was just too scary, like a death door being pushed open by white-gloved concierge, all in the most chivalrous of manners, everything so terrifyingly polite. Then he looked at me and asked, "Kevin, what mask? Talk about going gently into the night." Cheers. We're going to do a couple of love poems now. This is called Clam. I fell in love with a cat. Nobody told me she was a clam. She was Tom and Jerry all in one, but nobody told me she was a clam. She didn't slink away in a backyard embrace down amongst the trash bags. No clawed polythene, no cracked eggshells, no pierced tea bags. No, she just closed down. Now, another love poem, I think, Sasha. This is a love poem I wrote, but it's a love poem without a subject. So if anybody feels like auditioning for the role, just come and talk to me afterwards. It's, unless it might appeal to kind of hippie types, because it's an eco-conscious love poem. It's called Bring Back. I want to be your bring back, that's all I want to be. I want to be your bring back so you can come to me discarded, so you can come to me shattered, so you can come to me in pieces, because I want to be your bring back. That's all I want to be. Cheers. Okay, this is, I'm not a disciplined person, I lived in Cambodia for a while, and I wanted to write a poem about the street I lived on, and a haiku might have made sense. But as John Cooper Clark says about haikus, writing poetry in 17 syllables is very difficult. this is just like the rest of my life, totally fucking ill-disciplined sort of haiku. So in fact, it's not a fucking haiku at all. Called 178th Street. Heat, haze, grinning grave, saffron laughter, make on morn, click, clack, noodle, cellar, bamboo beating, but it's dawn. What's that? Finally, I might be getting extent of, there might be a little bit of humour coming along. Actually, this is called Anna McCarrick, and it's a poem about an encounter with a poet who has appeared here previously. He's a guy from Northern Ireland called Brendan Cleary, who's an excellent poet. Anyhow, it's called Anna McCarrick. Wind towel tranquility blowing the sheer beauty of Brendan Cleary's poems of love and death, and how he so deftly dances between the two. And then there he is in the kitchen, talking lost love and safe beds over fresh baked scones, while I sit here alone without a horse to ride or a woman to back. Back to some gloomy shit I was putting in a couple of years ago. And, people are able to get fucking self-indulgent and they end up writing poetry about the fucking illnesses. So this is called, I was on a drug called Interferon, which messes with your head, this is called Interference. Diary of an illness so desperately needed, my battle with fear, cancer, baldness, bad breath, death, whatever you're having yourself. Oh, so brave, and not even a breast to lose. But let's fess up, this one's not for me. This one's not for you, this is for me. I'm throwing shapes at fear, poking words in the wind, cause nothing is remembered the last time round. Unsuccessful, blank, dumb, mute, just visceral howl, DNA Dylan, a tonal protest, ghostly imprint, and now the comeback tour. So here we go, we're here to go, whistling in the wind, spitting in the gale, down dark boreens with desperate Diaguith. Can't support you, not very well since you asked, been a lot better, but there you are, a lesson in whatever, interferon. Here we go, we're here to go, can't support you. Another one written, this was just after I was recovering from that illness and I went up down to McCarrick, but it was a bad place to recover from illness because there was too much good company and too many good dinners and too much alcohol, and I wasn't supposed to be drinking at all. So this poem's called Jaundiced. Sorry, Abel, visions of informer ditches. Is there any forgiveness on these Monaghan hills? Liver fatigue, no place to go. Morphine desire on these Monaghan hills. Country west violence, lake acid stimulus. I'm aching to drink in these Monaghan hills. Bleakness and starkness, flashes of beauty. I'm longing for love in these Monaghan hills. Kavanagh, how are ya? Barbs and booze, full of bravado. Bad on these Monaghan hills. Where's that dog? Not where he's wanted. He's roaming the hills and these Monaghan hills. Where's that dog? Not where he's wanted. He's roaming the fields in these Monaghan hills. Cheers. This is just another brief, and I was asked to write, one of the things I was trying to do when I started writing was get all these poems out into places where poetry doesn't go. You know, that's why I was thrilled about the Rachel Maddow show and kind of appearing in news sites and things. But somebody asked me to write for, a poetry, quarterly, wanky type thing. I wrote something, and this was the start of the recession, and I just thought, certainly poetry and poetry quarterlies and things, they They weren't the answer to the fuck-up we were in at the time, so yeah, this is called a reservation. Poetry don't need no reservation, writs seem imaginative, yeah, yeah, yeah. But we all know where the buffalo roam, and it ain't no reservation. Nice, defined, oh so genteel, when so much depends on the cavalry call. The bugle that tells you it's time to go Apache on the gig. Burn down Tom's cabin, throw away the trinkets, we're looking for scalps. Black man, white man, red man, yellow man, someone has got to pay. Cheers. This is one from being a kind of a war correspondent. It's about that kind of almost sexual intimacy you can have with strangers, you know, on the edge of a battle zone or a natural disaster, you know, where you just stop and you ask someone, is the road safe? There's that kind of weird electricity in the air, but there's, you know, something serious is going on down the road. And you end up in these kind of, you know, just momentary but bizarrely intimate sort of experiences. And it's called Shelter. Under a spar awning we stood and talked, vicious rain by Baton Bomb Paddy. We smoked dope and spoke many minds. Behind Bangkok Wall we ducked, zing, bullet oblivious. In Ivory Coast we smiled, desperate searching smiles. Where are the eyes and warping faces? And always we sucked in, brittle sexual thrill. Strangers, commenting or non, smoking, nodding, talking quietly together of the very, very many dangers hell-bent on stopping you and making it safe home. Cheers. This one's probably my favourite, and it's based on a little incident that happened to me in Paris about 35 years ago, fucking showing me age, maybe 30 years ago. It was when Van Gogh's paintings were in the Jeu de Paume, and I went in one morning, and there was only me and a young American guy there, and the place was like, it was kind of empty, and he walked up and he stood beside me, and he started to go, do you see it? And basically, I think, remember the Beanos and the Dandies? You know, they'd have these little puzzles and you'd have to find six bananas hidden in the trees, or six. This is what his game was. And he thought he'd sussed Van Gogh because he'd spotted the face in the tree. So that was that painting done, and he could move on. But he was fucking touching the things, man. Anyhow, I don't need to tell you this because it's all about to come here. It's actually, I'm using this as a... It was a little kind of cipher for Rumsfeld and the Iraq War, and it's called Van Gogh was such a sneaky painter. Terrified I stood as the loud young American poked, jabbed his finger at Arl Tree. See, he said, see, relentless museum, surreal, no guards, no alarms, not yet, but don't mess with art in France. So panic, I say, yes, I do, I acknowledge him, few, satisfied he turns with order has been restored, certainty. But there will be no confusion, no ambiguity. So still gesticulating a trembling canvas, he smugly turns to Kevin, shivering in cultural conflict, high noon song. Van Gogh is such a sneaky painter. Van Gogh is such a sneaky painter, sneaky indeed, yank in Jeu de Paume, no one's fool, order under attack, so many decadent tropes, goddamn that Dutch jihadi, that duplicity of this old Europe, give me Eel Gimo for art, the new American century will not be subverted by tricks, by spot the hidden faces in the Arl Trees, sneaky, 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 very Victor Charlie, poor Van Gogh. Sneaky, sneaky, sneaky. Very surrender, monkey. Poor Van Gogh. Poor, poor Vincent. Poor Van Gogh. Cheers. And this is my alleged misogynist poem. It's that's what one or two people said that, but they're wrong. And being a total narcissist, it was ultimately all about me and not really about the women I'm allowed to talk about, but we'll get there in a second. Just let me have a drink. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. I wish all the women in their 40s would just find their lost cats. Please, I wish they'd take down all those signs. Please, lost kitty cat, lost scaredy cat. Seriously, cats, just go home, because your owners really scare me, and the ghosts of long gone young girls, they laugh at me, grey they call me, and I hear them snigger when I try to scale a wall. Stop it, stop it, stop it. Unleash the dogs, send the cats home, bring back the girls. I prefer the girls, I really did, I really prefer them, to the worried look of women alone in their 40s searching for lost cats. Don't they know how much it scares me? That worried look of women alone in their 40s searching for lost cats. Meow. 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 This is the title of my ebook, which I think trying to sell a fucking ebook now. Despite the fact I said I was a narcissist, it never occurred to me that people would want you to sign things and that sort of crap. So for a while, I was buying USB keys. And I was sticking them onto cards, and I was selling them at readings and things like that. But the keys will cost about $5.50, and you only sell them for a tenner, so it was an awful lot of work. Anyhow, it's been out for a while, so if anybody wants it, you can go to my Twitter page, and the link is there for free, so just help yourselves to it. And it's called I Love the Internet, not Love the Internet. And it came about, there's a kind of a good story behind it. I was getting sued for the second time by a politician called Declan Gandhi, going, legally not allowed to talk about it anymore, but I somehow doubt if any of his people are in the room. it was around the time of Savita, you know, when the whole abortion thing happened again, and I started treating, and see the problem, I mean, I'd attacked the fucker before legitimately, like in the Village magazine, and he brought us to court, and he bailed out of it. But it went 140 characters. It's very hard to hit someone in the head and then kind of apologise with a bit of legal icing and get out safely. So I kind of blew it. Now, what I said was, look at the Ganleys of the 80s abortion scenario and what did time tell us. Liars, hypocrites, and child molesters, the lawyers said. And there were a few others, but anyhow. So, I became a huge scene, and they were calling it like the first Twitter defamation case. And I had to say I paid a substantial sum to the Poor Clares, like a history, an organisation with a history shrouded in child abuse, which to me proved my point, I thought. But you know, I had to shut up at that stage. And the lawyer he got was Paul Tweed, who had just got like 500,000 for Louis Walsh. And Gandhi, in his arrogance, made me say that I gave them a substantial sum. I gave the fuckers 50 euro. And I was told to stay quiet, but after 5 or 6 days, I just couldn't take it anymore, so I leaked it to the Irish Times that I gave them 50 euro. And then, as an added fuck you, I decided I needed to come back and say something, because I was being called an internet bully, by these fuckers, by fucking fascist fucks. So I decided I needed to come back with a bit of defiance and love. So I wrote this poem called "I Love the Internet," which happened to be the title of the ebook that came out. There's actually two versions of the film as well. Yeah, there's the one that you saw, and then there's a kind of live action one. Anyhow, sorry, I need water and alcohol. I'm getting near the end here, folks. You'll be pleased to hear. I'll keep you here all night. Opium to De Quincey, Sin to Milton, Conroe to Conrad, Aaron to Sin. I love the internet. Castles to Shakespeare, Deceit to Macari, Dublin to Joyce, Marketplace to Chaucer. And did we see daffodils to Wordsworth? Because we couldn't forget that. Or mounted jihad to Tennyson, or the weird, wild wonder of the whole goddamn show to Dylan. I love the internet. Wild, lewd, bawdy, bullion, smelling the cats, cranks, crank, meth, conspiracy, snipers, gnaw. Fascists made cartoon on ripe digital soil, erudite waltzing with trite in eternal boredom, dedicated skiers on seas with trivial loon, self-help somas screaming thin in TV hair repair, and always the smiles of the Filipino brides and the promises of untold Nigerian riches flashing, wheel spinning, ace poker squared. You have been chosen, but somewhere down there in the fly fishing section, the first faint whispers that fears are right of hushed talk of bold revolution. I love the internet, the sheer, dull, scintillating, infantile anarchy of it all. Boisterous, brutal, medieval, market, futuristic, middle ages, directed by Friar Tuck, and offset whispers of robin lurking in woods. I love the internet, because it is ours. Now, I do need to write a companion piece. I hate the internet, the post-Snowden kind of anti-big data one, but that's another day's work. Okay, I think this one's called Sovereign Once Again. And it was, I wrote it the day I was up in Anna McCarry just by happenstance. And I opened up the Irish Times and I discovered the country was about to be sovereign again. So I thought that merited noting. The Irish Times of Friday, November the 13th, just told me over Anna McCarry tea that we'll be sovereign again. Sovereign again. So I took to my bike without precaution or credit, and I took to the hills where houses were boarded, dogs barking, and pubs were all closed. Village after village, pubs were all closed, and finally in Kudu in the county of Cavan, I sat for a pint where Charlie the taxi man leaned forward and said a fierce amount had taken to the rope. Taken to the rope, dangling from troika trees, and yet others have gone to the bottom of many the lake, Lily the lake. So I swallowed my pint, I got back on my bike, I looked up the trees, I stared down the lakes, and I cried out at the top of my voice, time after time after time again, for God's sake, come back. Please, Lord, just come back. Do you all not know we'll be sovereign again? Sovereign again. Get the fuck up and out of those graves. We'll be sovereign once again. Cheers. Thank you, folks. Thank you very much.